Hello everyone and welcome back to the JTalk Extra Time podcast. My name is Stuart Smith and the next voice you'll hear will be John Steele. John, how are you?
Hi Stuart, hi everyone. I'm very well and it's I'm happy to be back. Sorry we took a break last week and then forced break due to real world pressures, but we're back and banging this week.
You're damn right we are. We've got for this week, John, we're going to do a weekend primer. We're going to look ahead to this weekend in J2, and quite frankly there's some big ass games this weekend, right?
There's certainly a lot of junk in the trunk in J2 this weekend. Yeah, we can probably say we're at the business end of the season. And I think, you know, just looking back at the games that took place over the weekend, there weren't that many big games, I don't think. There were some eyebrow-raising matches, but nothing too heavy. But we definitely have some heavyweight games on the slate this Saturday and Sunday. So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it indeed. I think what we'll do is we'll start at the bottom because there's a huge game on the slate on Saturday night when FC Gifu, currently bottom on 23 points, hosts Tochigi SC, who are currently second bottom on 24 points. Now, you said to me in the green room before, John, that you thought, or you were saying that possibly this is one of the biggest games in FC Gifu's history. Do you just want to kind of flesh out what you mean by that?
Yeah, I think I kind of put that to you as a hypothesis, and I think you were receptive. You agreed. I think if Gifu can win this game on the back, hopefully gaining some confidence from beating Rikyu last time out, it does give them a sort of 50-50 chance of actually beating the drop. I think they've been bottom since we actually started J-Talk Extra Time. So I think we've been talking about Gifu in increasingly desperate or hushed tones each episode. But I do think, for my money, Tochigi second bottom at the moment, but only a point ahead of Gifu. Gifu do have a game in hand as well. Tochigi, I think, are probably the worst team that I've seen in the league this season. That's not to kind of, I'm not trying to upset anybody affiliated or supporting Tochigi, but certainly a very hard-working but limited side in terms of ambition and technical ability, I would say. If Gifu can win, I think it gives them a chance to trot out the kind of, you know, 11 cup finals cliche that might get them to safety. Anything other than a Gifu win, and I think we might be looking. This might be the match between the two teams who are going to be relegated this season. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think that's a fair point. I think it's a must-win game for both teams. And just to put a little bit of context around the game, Tochigi are winless in 8, and they've only won one game since the middle of May. They've won two games. No, middle of May. They've won one game since then, which was a home win against Yamaguchi. Gifu are coming off the back, like you said there, John. They're coming off the back of a 2-1 win away at FC Ryukyu last week. Gifu's better form has come away from home. They haven't won at home since they beat Ryukyu back in the beginning of May. And it's a huge game, really, for two teams that want to stay in J2. But the loser of this game, particularly if it's Tochigi, because like I said, Gifu do have a game in hand against Kagoshima coming up in November or at the end of October, I think. You have to think that should Tochigi lose, it's going to be a very difficult route back to safety for them. So it's going to be kind of, I would assume it will be all guns blazing at Gifu on Saturday night. To the victor go the spoils, really. To carry on down at the bottom, it's looking increasingly dicey for FC Ryukyu. Just mentioned they were beaten at home by FC Gifu last week. They take on Kagoshima United. Now, Kagoshima had a fantastic result last weekend. They went to previously white-hot Twig and Kanazawa, and one in Kanazawa, a very necessary result for Kagoshima, because, you know, they've been really hot and cold recently. They were beaten 5-1 at Yokohama FC the week before. This is another huge game, isn't it, John?
Yeah, I think momentum can play a big role at this time of the season. Kagoshima looked much more impressive than I expected winning that game in Kanazawa. We should mention as well, they were a goal down early on.
They were, yep.
Through, after Clooney did his business at the near post. Not a big fan of his blonde rinse, but that's perhaps a topic for another pod. But yeah, I think, you know, Kanazawa scored early and you tend to think, okay, that's probably it. But Kagoshima didn't buckle. They rolled up their sleeves, and I think Lucao, the Brazilian forward who joined, I think, in the recent window, he's definitely added a little bit to the attack. He quite smartly converted for their equaliser. And then the second goal, the winner, was a really well-worked team goal. It was a nice back heel to set up. Is it Edamoto?
The captain, yes, I think it was, yeah.
For quite a well-taken finish. Not the kind of cool, composed finishing and attacking they'd expect from a team fighting for their lives at the bottom. I should mention Kagoshima, a very inconsistent team, so it doesn't necessarily follow that they'll be able to replicate that at Ryukyu. I suppose you could say another thing in there is not far to travel in terms of an away game necessarily. You know, obviously travelling to Okinawa is not as far as to the mainland for them. But I think we really need to talk about Ryukyu and the mess that they're in. So, how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, it's Ryukyu. They're just falling like a stone. I mean, it has to be said. I mean, it'll probably come up anyway, but they really should have had a goal last weekend in injury time. If there was goal line technology in J2, they would have been awarded what would have been an equaliser there.
Do you think they deserve the point out of that game? I mean, I'm probably asking the least objective person, but do you think it would have been a fair result if it had been 2-2? I'm not arguing that the ball didn't cross the line, because it looked like it did, but
yeah, I think, you know, I think it probably would have been a fair result. I think Ryukyu kind of, once they went 2-0 down, they threw everything at Gifu, and honestly, I was just waiting for the second goal to come, to be quite honest, because Gifu was sat so far back. And then, yeah, like they should have been given the goal, but such is life when you're in a rough run like Ryukyu are in. And just to flesh that out a little bit, they lost 8 of their last 9 games, which is kind of a really rough run there. I mean, their sole win in that game was a home win against Nagasaki, which, I mean, you talk about Ryukyu being unlucky against Gifu, but they were very lucky against Nagasaki to get that win, I think. And yeah, they
we should probably add, if fucking our Aussie is driving or operating heavy machinery, maybe now would be a good time to pull over to take a break.
Yeah, we should put warnings on that. But yeah, I mean, I think I said before we started recording, like, Ryukyu and Kagoshima might be safe due to the fact that the teams below them are not going to go out and go on a huge kind of winning spree, I think. But if I was if I was Ryukyu, like, Ono Shinji has come in and hasn't done anything. I didn't think he would do much, because I don't think he's got much left in the tank.
He's probably done a lot in terms of profile raising and attendance boosting, but not in terms of any on pitch.
Because I remember when they played Tokushima away, it was 1-1 when Ono Shinji came off the bench, and they ended up losing 6-1. And it's unfair to just put that random stat there, but I think, like, he hasn't had the on-pitch effect that maybe some people who just know him by name might have thought he would have, but like I didn't think he would have that much of an effect on the pitch anyway. He's lost, he hasn't lost his skill of course, but I think he's lost the urgency and he's lost the ability to kind of impose his will on the game. And so I think that the signing of Ono Shinji and the loss of Koji Suzuki is just a huge net deficit for them. So
I think something that comes to mind as well is that when these super, shall we say, calling like a hyper experienced player like your sort of Shunsuke Nakamura's or Shinji Ono's come into your team, the idea is that they have experience that can help help the younger players or less experienced players at a difficult moment. But that being said, I'm not sure how much experience Shinji Ono has of like relegation battles, such as Rikyu in at the moment. And this is something that kind of very, very good players often comes up in interviews when they do drop down a division or two, is that they have to adjust to the level being a bit lower than what they used to. It's like when Premier League players become a manager and they have to start managing at a lower level. One of the first things they have to do is like adjust their expectations and make sure that they're asking the players to do things that they're actually capable of, not ask them to do things that they can't. So I'm just not sure. I mean, training with Shinji Ono every day must be a fantastic experience, but can he give mentally, can he help the players who are up against it at the bottom of the J2 table? I'm not sure. I think Shinsuke Nakamura's got a much easier ride because he can link up immediately with someone like Leandro Dominguez, for example. So there's at least one J1 player around to help out. I think at Rikyu that's not the case. I was just very struck with how poor they were defensively against Gifu. I don't want to take anything away from Gifu winning an away game. That's obviously a massive boost. But early on in the game, even, you know, they're very deep. I think the two centre-backs, is it Fukui and Nishikawa, not really getting to grips, I don't think, with what was in front of them. They were far too much time and space allowed for Gifu to kind of get shots off, especially in the first half. And I think you can see Yasuhiro Higuchi, the Ryukyu manager, quite a few shots of him in the technical area looking pretty forlorn. And I think, to be honest, Kazuaki Tasaka at Tochigi often wearing similar expressions at the moment. I think they don't know how to squeeze any more out of the players, and I wonder if perhaps that will come back to haunt at least one of those two at the end of the season.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that as well. Right, let's get out of that quagmire at the bottom and head straight to the top of the table. Now, Kashiwa Reysol's all-conquering season hit a road, a speed bump last weekend when they drew 1-1 at home to Albrecht's Niigata. That was their first non-winning game in 11. I think they'd won the previous 11, but they're still 10 points clear at the top of J2. They have another pretty decent examination on slate this week. They'll host Montedio Yamagata. Yamagata themselves held Yokohama FC to a 0-0 draw last weekend at home. Kashiwa, just a speed bump, but it's not an easy game against Yamagata, is it?
I think Yamagata can be a bit of a difficult team to predict. They weren't at their best, I don't think, against the Yokohama FC last weekend. The man of the match, by all accounts, was the Yamagata goalkeeper, Kushibiki, who made a string of decent saves. One really good one where he actually fumbled a shot, but then was up quickly to block Shinsuke Nakamura, I think, on the follow-up. I think Leandro Dominguez was suspended, so Shinsuke Nakamura actually started for Yokohama FC in that game. But I think, Yamagata, perhaps not at their peak, not in peak condition just at the moment. I know Jefferson Bayano was on the bench, started on the bench against Yokohama, so I presume or expect he might be involved a little bit earlier, probably from the start on Saturday. But I think Niigata played extremely well in the first half, especially at Kashua last week. But I do think, yeah, speed bump is probably about right. Merely a squirrel or a stray cat, plowed over, I think. And in Kashua, just too good, too many good players, and they're in good form. Obviously, 11 straight wins before drawing by the weekend. And they easily could have won against Niigata. I think they're just a bit unlucky not to convert some of the chances they had, especially in the second half. So I think Yamagata will give a good account of themselves, but I think Reiso will probably be just a bit too hot to handle. I don't know if you agree.
I do agree. I think Yamagata set themselves up well, but I think Kashua just have too much. They've got goals from all over the pitch, and they're relatively solid at the back as well. So I think Kashua are all good.
Should mention as well that Alexis Cristiano has 14 assists this season, which is twice as many as the next highest assister. And it's quite a few players who've got 7, but he's out there in front on 14, which is just incredible.
How many goals does he have? He must have.
Oh, I'm not sure if he's on the top scorers list. He's not in the top 10. He's not in the top 10 for goal scorers, so he's got maybe less than 10.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but
his delivery is outstanding. Oh, he's got 10 goals this year. I'm just checking now. So, I mean,
player of the season.
Between him and Iba, I would say.
You see, yeah, this is something we can perhaps talk about once the winter is upon us. I think Cervantes is probably the best player in the league this season.
If you were building a J2 team and you had like the first pick in the draft, say.
This could be a pod. This could be a good set. We shouldn't wait.
Who would be your number one overall pick out of all the players playing in J2 right now?
I would pick Cervantes, because every single highlight reel or game I've watched this season, he has saved points. I think without him, Fukuoka would probably be where Gifuwa are this season. So in terms of importance to the team, I'd have to pick Cervantes. And I know, obviously, Kosuke Nakamura at Reysol is probably considered the best goalkeeper in J2. Maybe Cervantes for me. But I wouldn't disagree. Cristiano would be up there. Iba would be up there. It's quite a few, actually. That's a really good topic, and one we should probably shelve.
Probably flesh it out a bit more instead of dropping
harder to pick defenders this season, I think.
The question it's basically who's the best player in J2, it's a little bit more deeper than that, because like you're like, if you're picking a goalkeeper, you're obviously picking a kind of shallower position, really, because there aren't that many. I'm not sure how many
you're choosing from 22, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there are a lot of good strikers, but how many good goalkeepers are there? It's interesting. Instead of dropping
let's give Ilunga a shout out as well at Kashua. He's been really good. 14 goals, very impressive for a player that I had to Google when he joined. I'd never heard of him, knew nothing about him, but he's come in and been incredibly effective.
Shout out to the scouting department at Kashua, shall we say. We just talked about Yokohama FC, and obviously they drew 0-0 at Montedio Yamagata last week. They get a home date with Vanfori Corfu this weekend. Corfu just ever so slowly inching their way back up to kind of playoff contention. They beat Omiya Adija with an injury time penalty last weekend. I don't think this game will be 0-0. I think there's a lot of attacking talent on both sides. I think this will be for the purists, if there are any purists who watch J2, I think this will probably be the game of the weekend.
Is this the hipster derby?
This is the hipster derby. I mean, obviously, I thought Corfu were promotion candidates at the start of this year. They kind of kind of like went off the boil during summer, but that injury time penalty last week against Almia has kind of given them a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. It's so kind of packed at the top of the league. I mean, they're only 3 points off second place, really. And this is, I mean, should they, I mean, if they win, they could overtake Yokohama FC, such as the closeness of the goal diff. Oh, no, 6-goal. If they beat them 6-0, sure. I probably should have thought that out a little bit
more. Listeners, it's late at night. Yeah. Important.
It's a big game, though. It's.
I think one thing about that match as well is if anyone is in sort of Yokohama, Tokyo area, and is at a loose end this weekend, because we should mention it's the international weekend, so there's no J1 games. I think that will be a really good occasion because it's at Mitsuzawa, it's a football-only stadium. The weather forecast for Saturday is good. I think we're expecting maybe a typhoon to be in the sort of Tokyo area on Sunday. So, it's a Saturday evening, kind of tail end of summer, start of autumn. So won't be horribly hot. It's a football-only stadium. Kofu's not that far away. They always travel with lots of fans. Yokohama FC are doing well, so they'll have a lot of fans in the stadium as well. It'd be a really good game. That would be the kind of game that I think you'd go to and come away thinking, wow, J2's really healthy. The Japanese game is in a good place. So if I'm free, which I don't think I am, but if I am, that would be definitely the game I'd want to go along to. And so much attacking talent as well in both teams. You know, you've got Utaka Dudu, for example, on the Kofu side, and then Ibo, we know Leandro Dominguez, we know Shinsuke Nakamura, we know as well as the kind of youngsters like Nakayama and Koki Saito for Yokohama FC. Yeah, I don't think there's any way that game will be goalless, as you say. But which way it would go, a bit more difficult to call.
Yeah, and we don't like making the big calls on this pod. We leave that to the big brother pod. I should just shout out and say, welcome back, Ben. I should have said that at the start, really. You're just middle management. I get to interact with the top boss. So, and any feedback from Ben comes through me to you. And we've already been through this before the
podcast. He's the apex predator of the pod.
he's the big man at the top. And Ben, I'm sure you had a great time in Australia, but sure, you're more than happy to be back talking about J1 with Big Sean Carroll and Sam Robson and Scotty Mack and all those wonderful people.
Welcome back, Ben.
Enough of that. Almia. So Almia, we just mentioned them coming off the back of a real kind of hammer blow defeat at Corfu. They get a chance to right the wrongs this week when they take on Machida Zelvia. Now Machida, they're still in and around the bottom of the table. They had what's the best way to describe it?
Grim.
They're level on points with Jeff, so maybe a 1-1 draw is not a particularly bad result, so to speak. And they're unbeaten in three, two draws and a win. They're still around the bottom of the table, but they have showed signs of picking up since Taiki Hirata has come back to them from Kashima. This is a difficult game, though, at the NAC 5, and especially against a team who I think match up to them quite well, I would say. And so I fully expect Almia to take 3 points from this game. They'll be kind of really annoyed at dropping a point from an injury time penalty at Corfu last weekend. I think they'll be back on the case this week. I see Almia coming out on top in this game. Naoki Soma, he's probably another coach with a kind of, I don't know, anguished look on his face these days, right?
I think that's fair. It was interesting at the handshake at full time on Sunday between Naoki Soma and the Jeff manager. He was very warm and friendly. I got the feeling they were both quite happy to take a point from that match and kind of edge or inch ever closer towards safety. I think 40 points will be enough to stay up, and Machida now on 31. They will probably, by hook or by crook, they'll get enough points, I think, to be okay, although it's not been a particularly memorable season, I don't think, for them this time round. But yeah, I think they'll find it tough going against Almia this weekend. Almia missed a few good chances to actually go in front in that game at Corfu. Robin Simovic in particular, kind of blazing one over the ball. He's kind of a bit of a forgotten man, I think. I've kind of forgotten he was there. I think he came off the bench to miss that chance just before. Very clumsy defending. A foul on Dudu led to the penalty, which I think was dispatched by Shigeru Yokotani, formerly a kind of bit of a Marmite player at Omiya.
Yes.
So I don't think Steve Barn will have enjoyed that particularly. But yeah, I think the fact that they didn't score in that game at Kofu will mean that Machida might find themselves being used as a sort of punching bag or stress ball this weekend. I think Omiya are an interesting side because they also have plenty of good forwards, but they don't quite. I mean, this is going to sound like a sort of minor quibble because they're sort of joint second in the table, aren't they? Minus goal difference. But yeah, I'm not sure. Genki Omai, Robin Simovic, Juan Ma, they don't seem to necessarily click together. I think it's definitely a case of one or two of them can play, but they can't all play at once. So it'd be interesting to see how that shakes down over the last two or three months of the season. There's definitely enough quality for them to be in the playoffs and maybe even automatic promotion if they can get the balance quite right. But I seem to say the same thing about me every time. I'm just not sure. I don't know, even on paper, I'm not sure they should be 10 points, 12 points behind Kashiwa, but there we are.
Yeah, I think I agree with that as well. I think I said before that the style that Takuya Takagi plays with just the one person up front and the two behind, it just isn't conducive to having Simovic, Wanma and Omai in the team at the same time. I think like he has to, if he's not going to change that style, he's got three players for one position, three really good players for one position. And
I think perhaps that reinforcing that Ipe Shinozuka was added, wasn't he, in the transfer window. I think he seems to be one of the kind of wide attackers, if you like.
Yeah.
Seems to be preferred. So it obviously wasn't. It's not a case necessarily that Takagi didn't have the personnel. It probably is a case that it's not a problem with the quality, but just players who can play specifically the role that he wants them to play. I think perhaps that's why Shinozuka is in.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point as well. Big game for them. I think if they've got designs on being in the top two, I think 3 points here would be a necessity for them, I should say. The other team that's left in the top six is Mito Hollyhock, often the forgotten team, and a team that I think both you and I have said throughout the season we expect to fall away, but they haven't, and they easily dispatched Tochigi last week in the the Kitakanto Derby?
Yeah, Kitakanto Derby, yeah, that's right.
The big trophy as well, now that Gunma are out of it in J3 as well. But they had a very routine 3-0 win, and they go into this game with a lot of confidence. They're hosting Swegen Kanazawa. Kanazawa could have been right on their coattails if they hadn't have lost against Kagoshima last weekend. Mito Hollyhock is still there, John. They've got a really good home record. They've only lost two out of their 14 games, and I think that going to Mito Hollyhock is no walk in the park for any team, is it?
No, I think that's true, and I think we do have to eat humble pie at this point, Stuart, and admit that they probably are going to be. They're certainly going to be in with a good shout of a playoff place come the end of the season. I don't think they are going to fall away. If anything, They actually seem to be getting a bit better and a bit more confident as the games go on. It's difficult to judge them too much from the Tochigi game because Tochigi were extremely limited, shall we say. And I think Mito scored pretty much in their first attack and then scored again inside the first 20 minutes. So the game was kind of done and dusted quite early on there last weekend. But yeah, I think they've done really well this season. They're actually an interesting, fun team to watch because a little bit like Kyoto, the transition from midfield to attack is very fluid and very quick. There's kind of these incisive passes, sort of football played quite simply, which sounds like faint praise, but what I mean is it's simple and effective, so there's no reason to overcomplicate things when they come forward. The third goal against Tochigi, a really good example of that. Ogawa just kind of flicking the ball past the keeper, supremely confident and finish. So yeah, I think it'll be an interesting match. I think Kanazawa, I don't know, I really like that black kit of theirs.
It's beautiful.
I want them to be in and around the playoff places. But I think maybe they will be eager to make amends after that kind of reverse at home against Kagoshima. But yeah, it's difficult to go to Mito and get anything this season. I think Mito as well, cleverly, obviously they sold Taku Masano's brother, but he's staying there on loan for the rest of the season. So as not to disrupt their kind of playoff push. That's very sensible. I wish Ryukyu had done something similar with Koji Suzuki, although I don't know the specifics of the deal. It would have been good if that could have happened there as well. And yeah, I think it's another interesting one just to get the sort of Jeff mentioning now. The manager, Mito Hasebe, is working wonders with very limited resources. He's got much more out of the limited resources at Mito than he did out of the big resources at Jeff, which I think perhaps speaks to something about the state of Jeff, that it's becoming a graveyard for managers. Mm. Who go somewhere else and then prove that they're actually quite good. More power to them. And I think, you know, when you think of Ibaraki, it's obviously Kashima, Antlers, the big team. And Mito never really had a chance to get into J1 because they never had a license before because of the stadium situation. It's great to see these not new teams, if you like, but unfamiliar faces up at the sharp end of the table. Yeah, long may it continue, and I like the way they play. So I would really like to see Kanazawa and Mito up there for as long as possible this season. But I think Mito will win on this occasion.
Very well said. Kyoto Sanga are in somewhat of a rough patch of form. They're winless in the last four. They've only won one of the last six. They were beaten 2-1 at Tokushima last weekend. They lost their previous away game at Mito as well, which was famous for an outstanding own goal. They're away in Okayama this weekend, John. It's Okayama. Mm. They're a team that kind of, they blow hot and cold. They're not good enough to sustain a promotion push, but they're not bad enough to get sucked into the nonsense at the bottom of the table. I think this game will tell us quite a lot about Kyoto Sanga's promotion chances, or automatic promotion chances, because I think they need to get back on the horse, and I think this would be an ideal time to do it.
Yeah, I think it's probably unfortunate they're facing a kind of second successive away game here. I think they could perhaps do with a sort of regrouping back at home, at least for one game. I think compared to earlier on in the season, Kyoto looked a little bit flat over the last month or so. As you mentioned, the results haven't been good. I wonder if maybe there's an element of tiredness because their game is based on kind of very, very hard running. We haven't mentioned in this pod, it was common knowledge, but summertime in Japan, the temperature and humidity is brutal. I did notice, just flicking through the various highlights of the games from last weekend, I did see a lot of tired defending. We should be kind about that.
Yes.
I think maybe I might be overplaying this because we're talking about a professional sport and professional athletes, but I do think you might find as the weather just starts to cool down, as it has done in Tokyo the last few days, as the humidity starts to drop, you might find that some of the energy, some of the heavy legs are not as heavy for like the running as they are during the summer. So perhaps give them half a pass on that. But yeah, they didn't look particularly good against Tokushima. Ryuji Sugimoto scored one of his like once every 10 games belters from the edge of the box in that game. If he scores, you know that you're not getting anything out of the game if he scores against you. But yeah, I think they do have a chance to make amends against Okayama. I think for me, I think Okayama have two J1 quality players, which is Hayato Nakama out on the left and the Korean forward whose name I can never get right. Can you help out?
Lee Young-jae,
yeah. If they play well and link up together as they did in their game at the weekend, then I think Kyoto will be hard pressed to contain them. I think Gabriele Agnello was kind of waxing lyrical about Nakama in particular on Twitter this week. He scored a very impressive brace in the match the weekend. Who did they beat? Oh, they won at Yamaguchi, didn't they? Last weekend. His first one was a kind of Kakitani style bicycle kick.
That's right. Yeah.
And then he also scored a very confident, quick shift of feet, and then to place the ball into the corner for the second. And Gabriele was kind of making the point: why is this guy spent most of his career in J2? And he's clearly got the ability to play at a higher level. And I tend to agree. I don't know the reasons why he's not been spotted. It might just be an agent issue. He's certainly better than a lot of players who have stepped up to J1 in the past. I think if those two play well, then Okayama are a very, very tough side to deal with. But if Kyoto can shut them down, then obviously at the other end, they've got Ichimi, they've got Sento, they've got Miyayoshi and one or two others. Koyamatsu, is it? Koyamatsu?
Yes.
Who can cause havoc. So again, I think it's a bit like Yokohama and Kofu. I don't think that'll be 0-0 after 90 minutes.
Let's hope not. We're going to come and wrap it up now, John, and so I will ask you for a one-word answer on each of the following games, okay? You ready?
What match? Any word? It's like word association or?
Well, no, you're going to choose the winner.
Like win, home win, away win, draw?
You're going to choose the winner.
Oh, I wasn't ready for this.
No, okay. This is what the punters want. Right. So, Nagasaki versus Fukuoka.
Sorry, Fukuoka fans, it'd be a Nagasaki win.
Interesting. Tokyo Verdy versus Yamaguchi.
Draw.
Pools,
in the rain. In the rain. No doubt.
Yes. Niigata versus Jeff.
Niigata will win.
I believe so as well. And the last one.
Jeff rubbish.
Shikoku Derby between Ehime and Tokushima Vortis.
I think not a one-word answer. Very interesting game, obviously, given the derby nature. Ehime will be smarting a little bit after they sort of let in three late goals and ended up well beaten Fukuoka last weekend. I think Tokushima might not get all 3 points, and that'll be a draw as well.
Interesting. Tokushima, currently, what are they? 5 points off the playoffs. They had a really good win last weekend against Kyoto, I think I said. Yeah, and they've won their last three. So they beat Fukuoka, they thumped Ryukyu 6-1, and they beat Kyoto last weekend.
With Ehime, you just never know what you're gonna get. And they could have, if it wasn't for Cervantes, they probably would have been 1-0 up in that game against Fukuoka, and then it could have been a very different. So I'm not saying they're a particularly good side, but they're certainly never guaranteed 3 points when you go to Ehime. I don't think you're always going to have to make sure you're concentrating and doing the basics right. Otherwise, they can mug you, as Danny Dyer would probably say. Before we wrap up, Stu, I don't know if you're across this, but I think Ryo Hatsuse has joined Fukuoka on loan for the rest of the season from Vissel Kobe.
Yes, I wanted to know, and I didn't have time at work today to look this up. I thought the transfer window had closed. Because I know Yuku added another couple of players as well, right?
Yeah, it's only this is good live thinking, but perhaps loans are okay. I don't know.
Yeah, or, I mean,
it's not like an emergency loan or anything. You can't just phone and say we're really shit. Can we get a player?
we're really stuck for a fullback. Can anybody help us out? I mean, it's a huge signing. I mean, he was, Hatsuse was signed to be, yeah, the next big thing at fullback for Japan as well.
Yeah, I haven't followed J1 very closely this season, but I'm sure there was big noise about him at one point.
Well, because he moved from Gamba, right? He moved from Gamba to Kobe, and a lot of people said it was for the money. I mean, I don't know. Mm. Editorialising,
I like it. perhaps that will galvanise. Yeah. That might galvanise Fukuoka. I wanted to mention earlier, and I forgot, but I think Ryukyu do have a new Brazilian forward, don't they?
Well, he was. Hamon.
Another one. There's another one. Blonde haired, blue eyed character, I think. Yeah,
wow.
I don't know if I can.
Well, I know they've been adding players, and I just thought it was a bit odd that it came after the transfer window had slammed shut. To coin a phrase, but yeah. I don't.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame you mentioned that during the recording, because now listeners will know that we don't really know what we're on about. But yes, I thought the transfer window, had closed as well. I don't know if loans are still allowed or short-term loans, or there must be some loophole. How old is he? Is it something to do with the age of the players, maybe?
Well, Hatsuse is quite
young. He's young, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, yeah. That's something. I tell you what, listeners, when we rendezvous again in the near future, we'll have an answer for you.
Hopefully it's not like the Shinji Okazaki situation where he is first man in, hopefully last in, first out, because the club has gone over their wage bill. So, but there are a few interesting players. I don't necessarily think players that come in during the mid-season window make a big impact. But I know Fukuoka lost Daisuke Ishiji, didn't they, to a very bad knee ligament injury.
Yeah.
The players all came out wearing T-shirts with his name and number before the kickoff at the weekend. So I think any kind of positive news that they can get on, you know, in terms of that, the strengthening the squad is very welcome.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's interesting. We'll try and find out. John, let's call it a night, or call it a morning, shall we say? There's some big games this weekend, and I think you sold the Yokohama FC versus Vanfori Corfu game really well. I think it'll be an excellent game, and I think it'll be a really entertaining affair, and I think it'll be a good advert for J2. So
I think a 10,000 plus attendance, not beyond the realms of possibility.
Hopefully, if you're in a loose end around Yokohama or around the greater Tokyo area, then get yourself down there. But we'll try and rendezvous next week, won't we, John? And we'll chat about what's happening. But as usual, thanks for joining me, and have a good week. All right.
Same to you, and I hope everyone enjoys the show. And we'll try and be back a bit more promptly next week to wrap up, see how many of our predictions came true. Over the weekend.
It's never a good thing. I'd like to say thank you to the Patreons who subscribe and donate and keep this podcast going. We've got some, hopefully, got some good stuff in the pipeline for coming up for the end of the season. But any way you can kind of help us out and donate, that would be fantastic, and we hope to keep doing these J2 pods and these kind of extra these bonus pods to accompany the main pod. We hope all the listeners are enjoying them, and like John said, we promptly be back next week. And until then, enjoy your J2 and J3 weekend, and we'll speak to you next week. Goodbye for now.